First question, I ask everybody this, but Mr. Cox, why are you running for governor? Why do you want to be governor?
Because this state is being horrendously mismanaged. This is the Golden State, and we have the highest number of people in poverty in the country. We have the highest tax rates. Our roads, our schools, our forests are being mismanaged. Tremendous waste and corruption, and people just can't afford to live here anymore. We've got a crime rate that's rising because we've let people out of jails because we can't afford to keep them in there. And we've got a sanctuary state that violates the rule of law and is imposing huge costs and insecurity on the people of the state. And I believe we can have a much better management and a much greater state to live in. And that's why I'm doing this.
You're a relative newcomer to California, having moved here from Illinois a few years back to Southern California. What makes you qualified to run the Golden State after, you know, seeking political office in Illinois before?
Well, you need to understand that my whole family has been in California for 50 years. My grandparents moved here from Chicago in 1968. My mom retired here in 1980. Her two sisters lived here their entire life. My cousins live here. My little brother and sisters, my little brother and sister moved out here from Chicago with my mom in 1980. So it's kind of, you know, I'm the last member of my family to move out here. So California is really my family's home. So you know, I've been in business for 40 years, Doug. I mean, I think that is more than qualification. I've run big businesses. I've turned around businesses and made them successful. That, I think, is excellent experience for turning around this huge government we have here. And, you know, when you run a business, you have to meet budgets, you have to hire and fire people, you have to meet goals and get things done and find solutions. That's what a business person does every single day. And that's what President Trump is doing in Washington. That's what 19 other governors are doing who are also business people, and that's what I intend to do.
You come from relatively modest beginnings. How did you become so successful in business? What do you think made it click for you?
Hard work and education, I would say. My mom was a school teacher, a single mom, south side of Chicago, but she taught me an education is the only thing people can't take away from you, and it's the thing that's going to make you a success, and that's why I worked very, very hard to get the best education. I graduated at the top of my classes in college and law school, and I became a CPA when I was 20 years old and just have just worked 70, 80 hours a week. I love work. I think work is life-affirming and fun, and I'm working now and loving this. I think that that's the way you get to be a success. You continue to work hard and enjoy what you're doing.
You mentioned another man who ran on being a businessman, and now he's president, President Trump, and he endorsed you last week for the governor of California. What does that mean? What is your reaction to that endorsement, and what does that mean for your campaign? What have you seen happen in the few days since that endorsement?
Well, I think a lot's happened. First of all, I'm proud that he did endorse me. You know, there's a lot of people, I suppose, that criticize the president for personal activities and things like that, but people can't argue with the results he's been achieving. The economy is now going to be growing at a rate of probably exceeding 3%. It never did that under Mr. Obama. Regulations have been cut. We've stood up to North Korea, and they're coming to the table. We got out of that horrible Iran deal, and we're going to stand up to their sponsoring terrorism around the world. We've appointed wonderful judges. We also just opened an embassy in Jerusalem, and hopefully that's going to lead to some more peace and security for people in that region. You know, people can obviously argue with his style, but they can't argue with the success and with the results. And I think, isn't that what we elect leadership to do, is to get results? And that's, I think, what people of California want. They just want a better quality of life. They want a better education for their kids. They want a lower burden of cost of living and taxes, and that's what I'm dedicated to provide.
And yet you didn't vote for President Trump. You voted for Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. Why didn't you vote for him, and what do you think about that decision now?
Well, I regret that decision. I didn't vote for him because I wasn't sure he was going to be a conservative. He had given money to Democrats in the past, and he was mouthing all the words, but I look at people's actions. Well, I look at his actions since he's been president, and I love most of what he's done, the cutting of taxes, the cutting of regulations. I wish we'd have killed Obamacare. I think that's still yet to be done, and the budget is still spending a lot of money, although he's, you know, getting more funding, I guess would be the proper way to say it, to the military after it was emaciated under Obama. I like most of the things that he's actually accomplished here, and to me, that's what it's about. It's about getting accomplishment. I think there's a lot of things to do. I think we need to fix immigration. I like the fact that he's strong on border security. I am too. But we need to get a fix to DACA and get our border secure and get E-Verify and other things that are going to make us more secure in the future. I think he's done a very, very good job so far.
So you have experience in California trying to pass a couple of ballot measures. One was the neighborhood legislature plan where we'd have 100 micro legislatures, I guess it was. And then there was what we called the NASCAR measure, where you would put the labels of people's top donors. They'd have to wear badges on their clothes. Were those, some people saw those as somewhat frivolous, but you were quite serious about them, weren't you?
Well, you know, listen, I've been working on getting something done about corruption my whole adult life. You know, I built a business, but as I built that business, Doug, I have witnessed absolute corruption hurt our political system. And you can't deny that our system is built around corruption. How else would you describe a system where people who want something from government fund the campaigns of the people who make the decisions? And that was the whole idea of the NASCAR initiative, which was a little tongue-in-cheek, I'll admit. I wanted to show how absurd this system is, where you have all these special interests giving money to politicians and then, you know, going and asking them for things. The neighborhood legislature is a very serious proposal. It's been praised and endorsed by people like former governor candidate Bill Simon. Newt Gingrich has called it positively brilliant. A lot of liberals have praised it as a way of getting money out of politics. If you walked into any restaurant or any Starbucks and you asked people who their legislators represent, do they represent the people or do they represent the people who give them money for their campaigns, you are going to get almost universal agreement. It's the people who fund the campaigns that really have the power. I just think that's wrong. I think the people should have the power. And I'm not just about words. I'm about actually putting my money where my mouth is.
So if you get elected governor, what will you do to try to change the system, at least in the state? You can't do it federally, but at the state level, to take some of that money and corruption out of politics?
Well, the concept of the neighborhood legislature, which I'm not making a huge part of the campaign, I'm going to be talking about, you know, that as a reform measure after I'm governor and when I can lead the state and talk about reform a lot more. But the essence of it is to make campaigns a lot smaller, door to door, neighborhood style. And if a campaign is all just a little tiny neighborhood, you don't need money to run. I think that's the best system, where, you know, you take away the power of money because you don't need it.
Okay, you mentioned immigration. I know you oppose the sanctuary state and sanctuary city laws. What would you do as governor to address the immigration situation in California?
Well, you've got to deal with security. You know, the country to the south of us is having great difficulty controlling its drug gangs, and that's just a fact of life. 26,000 murders, something like that last year. I mean, that's horrendous. Guns and drugs and gangs are coming across the border because it's porous, and we've got to have a border wall and tunnel detection and other things to secure the border. We need to get a DACA fix because we got a bunch of people who were born here that have never known anything but America. But the last thing I want to do is get a DACA fix and not fix the security problem and not fix the broken immigration system. We need to make sure that people who are here are legal, that they're qualified to work. So I think we should have E-Verify. I think we should have a guest worker program to some degree that allows people to come and go if that's what they want to do. But I want to have people who come to America to contribute, to build America, to contribute to our economy, and to be Americans. And I hope that's shared by all Californians.
Is there anything President Trump has said or done on immigration with which you disagree?
Not really. I think he's argued for a border wall, which I agree with. He's argued for security. He's argued for the DACA fix. He's gone a little further than I would have gone. I think he offered, 2 million people to make, ultimately make citizens of 2 million people. I think that was extremely generous. Might have been a little bit more than I would have done, but I think he's making it, about security, and that's the way it should be. Kate Steinle's murder, there have been other instances of, undocumented people who commit just horrendous crimes. They're probably certainly not the majority. They're probably rare, but I don't want any crimes in this state if I can avoid it.
You've made your fortune in real estate for the most part, I believe. And one of the problems facing California now, many people would say the biggest problem, is the lack of affordable housing, homelessness, the divide between those who are housed and have incomes and those who don't. What would you bring to that subject? How do we address what many see as our biggest problem in California?
Well, housing is absolutely the biggest problem, and you're right. It's my business. I build apartments for $80,000 a unit in Indiana, and here that same apartment would cost $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 in the Bay Area. Now, part of that's the land, obviously. There's a lot of demand, and there's not as much land to build on, especially near the ocean. But, it's not all the land. A large part of it is the regulations. A large part of it is litigation. A large part of it is the delay in getting projects approved. We've got to streamline these environmental laws. We've got to, get rid of some of these regulations. We've got to make it so that there aren't massive lawsuits that hold up development. These are things that just keep adding to the price. Recently, the legislature, proposed a requirement of all housing to be built to have solar panels, which sounds wonderful, but it just keeps adding to the cost. You can't keep doing this to working people who just have a tough time paying the bills. It's just pushing working people either out of the state or into poverty. We can't keep doing that.
So apart from building more housing, how do you address the income inequality, the accelerating rate of poverty in California?
Well, the cost of living is the biggest one. I'm the leader of the gas tax repeal, so we're going to get rid of the gas tax. We're going to get gasoline prices lower. We've got tons of oil in this state that we can develop, not on the ocean, but in the Central Valley. We can certainly do that. We can certainly go after the price of electricity and water, which is way higher than it ought to be. There's a lot of corruption there. And of course, we've got to bring down the cost of government at all levels. California spends four times what Texas does to build a mile of road. California spends three times what Nevada does to house a prisoner in our prisons. These incredible costs end up in the price of everything that people buy. And that's what's increasing the cost of living for people and causing this horrendous poverty.
So only two get to go on to November. I know you're confident you'll be in that top two. How big a boost is it to have the president in your corner, and what's going to push you over the line 2 weeks from now?
Well, as the president would say, it's huge to have his, he's got the biggest mouthpiece. He's got the biggest bully pulpit in the world, really, if you look at it. And, of course, he recognizes that I'm running for governor of California, which is the second most important job in the country. You know, this is the fifth largest economy in the world. There's so much innovation that goes on in this state. We've got some of the best universities. We've got great industries. Obviously, you know, people know about Silicon Valley and Hollywood, but our agricultural industry is one of the leaders in the world. We produce more dairy than Vermont and Wisconsin combined. We have more cattle than Texas. Kern County produces more oil than Midland, Texas. So, I mean, California's economy reaches into just about every facet of the U.S. economy as well as the world economy. And we need to have an experienced businessman, I think, leading this state. We got to get away from the politics and the politicians and the people who divide us instead of forging solutions. And that's what I'm dedicated to.